Good day, friends. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with a program based upon what the Bible teaches. And you know, we've been waiting for you on the broadcast today to bring you another lesson under the caption of Take a Look at Your Bible. I hope as we talk to you today that you have looked at the Bible during the past week. And as we talked on the broadcast last time about the race of life or for life, we trust that it brought to your mind how involved you must become in this life with Jesus Christ and God. I talked to a lady some years ago who told me that the reason she had never obeyed the gospel, the reason she had never attended the services of the church, is she just did not want to become involved. Now, I didn't go into all the details about her not wanting to be involved, but I simply asked her a question. How can any person live in this life and in the world that is beyond without being involved with God? You see, we may turn our back upon God. We may be like the man who came to Jesus with confidence and wanted to know what he lacked to gain eternal life. And when Christ told him, knowing that there was something dearer to his heart than the Lord, to sell his possessions, give it to the poor, and come and follow him, and he would have treasure in heaven, that he went away sorrowful. Well, there are some people who turn their back upon the Lord, and apparently that's what happened to this lady. I don't think she was immoral in any way. I think she was just like a lot of people who say, well, I just don't want to become involved. But I pointed out to her that if we're not involved in this life with God, we certainly will be involved with him at the bar of judgment. Hebrews 9:27 said, it's appointed once for man to die, and after that the judgment. We'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be evil, as we have very clearly taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. So I trust that you do want to become involved. But you know, one thing that must be considered when we talk about our involvement with the Lord is to be sure that we are following the plan the Lord has in mind. I think I'd related to you on a broadcast not too many times ago regarding a certain man that I knew very well and still know, who we might say seemed to be dragging his feet about obeying the gospel. His wife was a Christian. People would often ask, well, why hasn't this man become a child of God? Why hasn't he obeyed the gospel? One day I had the opportunity of hearing him in a conversation with another man who asked him just about the same question. He said, I'm going to become a Christian someday, but I want to be sure what I'm doing is the right thing. And I want to say that I commended him for that type of view. And what I want to say to you on the broadcast today is that you must become involved with God. It's much better in this life to become involved with him than to wait until you stand before him at the final day to hear him say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Maybe you don't believe in hell, but God does believe in hell. God knows there's a hell. He depicts it in the Bible. But what I want to point to you is how it's possible to escape the pangs and the horrors of hell and to have everlasting life. God said, you know, in a very definite way, in his word, that he so loved the world, and that includes you and includes me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Maybe you've read John 3:16 just recently. But now the interesting thing, if we're going to enter into the Christian life, which certainly must be termed as Christianity, we're going to have to first of all know what Christianity is. Now, we're not talking about a superficial Christianity. We're not talking about a social Christianity, but we're talking about the Christianity of the New Testament Scripture. And I want to give you a reference that will give you a definition for what it means to be a Christian and what's associated with that religion that binds man back to God. Listen to James in his writing from the first chapter of that great epistle, the last verse in the chapter, verse 27. He simply says, pure religion, and that means it's unmixed, and undefiled before God and the Father is this. So here's a place in the Bible, and perhaps you already know this, but here's a place in the Bible, friends, where we can get a definition, a biblical definition, for Christianity. In the first place, we want something that is pure. We want something that is unmixed. You know, this social religion, This idea that's held with a mixture of, we might say, worldlyism, a mixture of liberalism, and then part of the gospel is just not pure because it's all mixed up. It's like one said, a person said about a preacher one time. They said, well, he's a good man and he's an excellent mixer. And someone says he doesn't just do that mixing when he's out socializing, but he mixes it up also at the pulpit. Well, I never knew the man personally. I just heard that about him. But whether that's true or not, I simply want to say that we don't want that kind of a religion any more than would you want a religion that would just be a one-day religion out of a week, maybe just 2 hours on Sunday morning, and then the rest of it is spiritually running on the rim, so to speak. Well, a pure religion is that which is unmixed and is undefiled before God. And then he gives us 2 points that must be considered here. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, that's going to be a full-time job. But I want to point out to you on the broadcast today that I believe this is a practical teaching. In other words, it's something that can be practiced. If you were to go on reading the Epistle of James, you would find in the 2nd chapter that James cites a case of a man who has an opportunity to provide food and raiment for one who is hungry, for one who is not clothed properly, and all he did was to talk about it. Be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, ye give them not things that are needful, or nothing that is needful for the body. What doth it profit? Wouldn't profit anything. It'd make matters worse. You'll find that teaching down in the 2nd chapter of James in verses 15 and 16. So I'm saying to you on the broadcast today that a religion that's pure, that's undefiled before God, that you can practice, is something that must truly be looked upon as being pure, practical, genuine Christianity. Now let's look at the 27th verse in the light here of what James is saying. Now I'm sure you know that there are a number of things that we can do for our fellow man. We realize that when he says to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, that he's using this as an example. He's just reaching over here into the proverbial file cabinet, and he's lifting out a case here of a case of fatherless or widows. And he's saying, now here is a work that can be performed. And this simply indicates to us that there is a vast area here in Christianity, according to the teaching, where we can exert an effort to help our fellow man. That's why the story of the Good Samaritan is a classic. When Jesus told that story, he was answering a question. And that question was, who is my neighbor? And when you begin to look at the Good Samaritan, the wonderful story of how he helped the man who fell among thieves, cared for him, paid for his way, and was willing without obligation to the individual or with no strings attached to go all the way in assisting him back to health. Well, the Lord has given us the same type of teaching. Time and time again, he has told us that there is an obligation for our fellow man. How many times as you look about you in the world today do you find there are things that you can do for your fellow man? I realize that this is talking probably primarily in physical or temporal things, but don't stop there. You can be of great service also to your fellow man, to your neighbor, to your friend, to someone that you've never met before that you finally meet, by telling them about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We talk about everything else. We talk about the weather, we talk about our crops, we talk about our business, we talk about our family, and especially about our grandchildren, and these things are all right in their place. But why not talk about the Lord? So we have a vast obligation to our fellow man. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those of the household of faith, as we have taught in Galatians 6 and 10. And then our obligation to God is mentioned here in a very definite way, by keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. Now that's going to set a right example before our fellow man. That's going to let our light shine so people will see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. But here is a Christianity that's pure. Here is a teaching that's pure that we can practice. You see, the point is that when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't die to manufacture sin and bring it into our life. But he died that our sins might be forgiven, that the way would be clear, that we could have his blood spiritually applied to our life and be made free of every sin. So here's the newborn babe in Christ. He's had every sin forgiven. God holds it not against him now, and now he presses out on the life that's before him. He's told to keep himself unspotted from the world. But it's just like a bonfire. You see that bonfire, you may not get your clothes on fire, but that smoke's going to be there. And so sin is about us on every hand. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to commit sin. We're going to realize, perhaps the moment when we commit sin, what we've done. And in this wonderful teaching of God's Word, he has a purifying agent. He has a spot remover, spiritual spot remover, that can take away every sin that we've committed. As Christians, because we are in God's family, we are told to repent and pray, if perhaps the thought of our heart might be forgiven us. Could this be one reason why Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, to pray without ceasing? Something to think about. So what I'm saying is that we have a teaching in the Bible that we know as pure religion, as Christianity, that can be practiced. And if you have time in reading, read this epistle of James. It's as practical a teaching for everyday Christian living as you'll find any place in the Bible. So it is a case of hearing the word, of believing it and obeying it, and putting ourselves into the service of the Lord, that we might present our bodies as a living sacrifice that'll be holy and acceptable in his sight. We want to leave this thought with you on the broadcast today. Think of James 1:27. Read it, talk about it. If you have questions and we can answer them, we'll be glad to do so. Let us hear from you. Your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ invite you to their services. We hope you'll be there, and we hope you'll be with us next time as we continue on here by taking a look at your Bible.